Hallelujah. How does Tim say that? You're never late. Praise God, right on time. Well, again, my mind is still captured by the things he was saying in this morning service. So go ahead and be opening up to Romans 12. I think we'll start there this time. This morning service went a little farther than I intended. I was really just wanting to focus on the law of sin. Again, we're still in that transition period, or in that period of time heading into revival, where he is maturing us in our thinking, where we no longer take condemnation just because we're tempted, understanding that we're not in a perfect world, and for sure we do not yet have glorified bodies. He knows that we're, the fullness of the redemption is not yet complete. Paul talks about that in Romans. He says there will come a day when that redemption will be complete. And that's when we receive a glorified body like he has. And we live in that hope. Now, that's one of those things that you have to live by hope. It's not something you can manifest early by faith that I know of, you know. And that's in the Father's hands. But I do have hope. And in fact, John says, now, if you really have that hope that one day you're going to see him as he is, you're going to be just like him, and knowing that one day we're going to be in a new heaven and a new earth. If you have that hope in yourself, then it says that man or woman will purify himself. Well, what that means is you have to believe the truth and then turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit. I say it this way, because in Thessalonians it says God sanctifies you, spirit, soul, and body. But in 1 John it says, no, you purify yourself. And I couldn't reconcile those two for a while. But then I understood, wait a minute. Every good thing, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Any real change in Gary that happens, it's God that did the changing. Because a leopard can't change its spots. Have you figured that out? I can't change myself, really. It's God that gave me the new spirit that I have on the inside of me. It's God that gave me his word to renew my mind. It's God that gave me the Holy Ghost, who is my teacher and my guide. And the one, as I yield to him, he unveils Jesus right before me. And the more I see of Jesus, the more I'm changed into that same image. So it is God who's doing all of that changing in me. But it's still up to me, because every day and every hour of the day, I make the choice. Am I going to give any time today to prayer? Am I going to give any time today to fasting? Am I going to give any time today? So really, it's up to us, because you can be born again. How many knows? You can be born again, love God, be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and go 25 years without changing hardly at all. You can come to the prayer center and hear wonder. Lots of people come that you think are going to be here forever, and they're not here anymore. And a major part of it, they were basically eating the fruit off of Dave's tree. They come because of the love. You feel the love. The anointing, if they need prayer, they get in the line. But they're eating fruit off of Dave's tree, and that's okay. But that's really not why you come to the prayer center. You're a tree. You're supposed to be putting down roots yourself. You're supposed to be tapping into the vein of the Holy Ghost, your own self, where the Holy Ghost can begin manifesting fruit on your tree. Which really, we're all of the same tree. I don't, you understand what I mean by that? So, again, he's bringing us around to the mindset of understanding. Okay, he understands that I'm still dealing with this flesh. He understands that I'm living in a world where there's temptation. If Paul said in his day, the days are evil, boy, what would he say about the day we live in? Dear Lord God, you know, redeem the time because the days are evil. Paul, if you thought it was evil then, you got no idea, you know. And getting worse. Getting worse, you know. But, you know, did you know one thing about light? The darker it is, that light really is shining the same. But to all the people around, the darker it is, the brighter the light to them. See, we are called to be light in the darkness. And as long as we don't conform to the world, as long as we stay after going after Jesus, to the world, we'll shine brighter and brighter. and they'll know where to come when they need the light. Amen. So I was answering that question that I've been asked several times, and then recently by a pastor that I respect very much. And he was asking that question. He says, now that when Romans 8:2, when it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, now that law of sin and death, does that mean that it's been done away? Is it gone? Or is it still in us, but now we have the power to walk above it? And that is the truth. He said it right. So let's look at those three verses. I told you Romans 12. You don't have to turn to these. Let me just remind you again. Where is that law of sin and death? Is it vanished away or not vanished away? Well, it tells us real plain, Romans 7:23. Now, this is a guy, Romans 7 is a guy who's not born again. Okay? He didn't know what the problem was. He loved God. He's the one that somebody gave him God's law. He said, well, I wouldn't have known it was wrong to covet. Except your law says don't covet. Well, I love you, God, so I see that you don't want me to covet. So I'm going to set my willpower and my mind. I'm just not going to covet anymore, God. I'm not going to covet. And that would apply to all the other commandments, right? Uh-huh. And he found out the same thing everybody else found out that received the law with a sin nature and tried to keep it. Found out he couldn't keep it. Why? Because there was a law in his spirit that agreed with the flesh. No matter, let's say it this way, human willpower and human energy, mind power, was not enough to overcome the law of sin. So he says, this guy in Romans 7 who tried for years to do it, he says he come to a conclusion. He says, I see another law in my members. Where? In my members, warring against the law of my mind. That law of his mind is, I made my mind up. I'm not going to covet. I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to this. I'm not going to that. And bringing me into captivity. Now that's a real nice way of saying made a slave out of me. If something brings you into captivity against your will, made a slave out of you, didn't it? And it brought me, I found a law in my members. And this is what later on he says, the law was weak through the flesh. The law was weak through the flesh. There's a law in my members that brought me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my what? It's in my members. So the question arises first. Well, you got born again. Your spirit got born again. The question is, did your flesh get born again? It did not. See? That law of sin is still there. The difference between the Romans 8 person and the Romans 7 person, he was trying to overpower that law of sin with mental energy and human willpower. And you can't do it. So God had to give us something stronger than that. Anybody in this room want to tell me what that is? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. It's not that the law of sin is not still in your members. It is. But now you have something more than human energy and human willpower. You have the very nature of Christ. You have that spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the same spirit that enabled, let's say, empowered him to walk above sin his whole life. That same life, not something diminished, that same life that raised him from the dead, raised you from the dead. Got the same life, not something lesser. And it empowered him to walk free from sin. It empowers us to walk free from sin. So that law of sin is still in us, but it's in our members. We have to understand that. And that's why Alan, it makes much more sense to me when he first started saying, you are not your struggles. You are not your flesh. Your flesh is who you're struggling against. And I understand that. And Paul agrees in Galatians 5 where he says, the flesh lusts against the spirit, new nature, the new nature against the flesh. These two are contrary one to the other. And they're never going to agree. One is going to be on the cross every day. Y'all remember here calling in the lost. He said that to me one night. He said one thing about it. Every day one of you is going to be on the cross. The flesh is going to put the new nature on the cross and have its way. Or you're going to put the flesh on the cross and God's going to have his way. But see, now what's happening though, the purpose of this is, of course, God wants us free from sin for so many reasons. But now I'm seeing that's not the end result. That's not the end. First, he wants us walking free from sin, but he wants us to yield our members so that our physical bodies literally become the members of Christ. Positionally, that's already true. See, now that's a different level of yielding. It's one thing to quit smoking, drinking, going with girls that are doing. How does Dave do that? No, smoking, drinking, and chewing, and going with girls who are doing. That's it. And that's fine. I mean, that's good. We should start all doing that. But the end result is not, okay, now I'm free from sin, but I'm still going to live my own life and do things my way, and I'm going to have my ministry, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be that, and I'm going to be rich, and I'm going to be famous, and I'm going to... Blah, 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 blah. That's not the purpose. He doesn't want me free from sin so I can live a better Gary life. He wants me free from sin so I can live a better Christ life. What I mean, that's not right. So I can better let Christ live his life through me. I'll never forget the day he said this to me. I'll never forget it. He says, I have not called you to minister. Talking to me. One of those private times. Yes, sir. Okay. I got it. One of those private times, he said, I have not called you to minister to the people yourself. I have called you to be a vessel through whom I can minister to the people myself. Man, there it is right there. I was recently, this week or this month is, and I'm not really endorsing any magazine, but Charisma Magazine has been around for 40 years. This is their 40th anniversary. And one of the things they offered this week, they had an old Catherine Kuhlman video from when she ministered at the Mabee Center in Tulsa in 1974. And I've seldom ever get to see her. I've read her book, I Believe in Miracles. But nobody could deny the miracles. I mean, this was amazing what this woman. So I watched it. And it's pretty long. And it was only part one. You guys think we have long services? The revival we're headed for, you better get ready for some long services, because part one was an hour and 20 minutes. I'm hoping they do part two later. But I sat there, it was early in the morning, and I saw that, and I couldn't resist it. I had to watch that. Now, she did that in 1974. And by the time it was over, I was crying like a baby. The presence of God just filled my living room. She'd been gone to be with Jesus how long? And the anointing of the Holy Ghost is still on that video. And I was listening to some of the things she was saying. It was just so right in line with the things that we have learned here. She'd say, I honestly don't know why some get healed and some do not. She says, I have a feeling, I think, that if I could better learn how to better cooperate with the Holy Ghost, I think they would all get healed. Well, I think so too, because Jesus would heal them all, wouldn't he? And so she would say things like this. She would go, she says, you don't understand. Didn't we do a message here recently? Holiness does not earn you miracles. Yeah. Yet is holiness important? She would say things like, she said, he does the most astounding miracles through me. And she says, I don't know if I can convey to you the truth. I have nothing to do with that. I have nothing to do with that except be a vessel through whom he can do it. But I don't really have anything to do with the miracles. I'm as amazed as you are. Isn't that something? Yet she was learning how to co-labor with the Holy Spirit, speak whatever it was that was given for her to speak. She would point, and this takes faith, and there's, you're in this big arena at the Mabee Center. You've probably been over there sometime or another. Point up to a certain section of the balcony and say things like, you came in with cancer. They told you have to die, but that cancer is cured in this very hour. Or something like that. And the person in the balcony feel it leave and then come down and give testimony. And they had doctors there to verify things way back in the 70s. But here we go again, see. It's God in us, Smith Wigglesworth would say. filled with God, filled with God, filled with God, emptied of self, and filled with God. That's what we're talking about. Where this vessel, this mortal flesh, literally becomes the vessel, the body of Christ. Isn't that something? Well, did you ever find Romans 2? I didn't even read it, all of them out of... No, Romans 12. So, and let me just summarize this morning here real quick. So where is that law of sin and death? It is in our members. It has not been done away. The law of sin... The law of sin still exists in our members. But our instruction is to walk in the Spirit. And by that process, we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Amen? Learn to walk who we are. And it's more than just holiness. It's not holiness for religion's sake. It's the goal here is to become the vessel, the literal body, clothing, flesh clothing for Jesus. Can I say it that way? That we are His clothes, we are His body on earth, so He can have dominion here. So where did I say go? Romans 12? Okay, I will. I'm going to do it this way. So I beseech you therefore, brethren, and that word therefore means based on everything I have said in Romans chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, which we sure don't have time to review tonight. But based on everything that I've said, by the mercies of God, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. He does want it to be holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And again, I want to mention a living sacrifice. I almost wish it was like the little lamb from the Old Testament. Because you're supposed to bring your favorite, your best lamb. The one without blemish, the one that you would hand, that you hand fed, the one that trusted you completely. You'd come up to you and you'd hand feed it. That's the one you're supposed to take and offer. And I've often thought that little lamb, you know, that's looked at your into your eyes, trusting many times. And as you hand that lamb to the priest and the priest takes that knife, and about to cut the lamb's throat, and that lamb might, his eyes might lock on yours. You know? But see, the suffering for the lamb would just last for a few moments. And his suffering is over. Ours, we're called to offer our body a living sacrifice. It's a sacrifice, it's a death that doesn't quit dying. And it's every day. This is exactly how Jesus lived His life without sin. He, through obedience, He crucified His flesh daily. And He says, that's why I said, if you want to be My disciple, you have to do the same thing. You have to, if any man will come after Me, let him crucify Himself, crucify His flesh daily, daily. And My flesh is sometimes more than once a day. And it's painful. When your flesh doesn't get its way, has anybody found out? It can make your life a little miserable. I kill you. We say that jokingly, but I'm telling you, it'll make you absolutely miserable. And it's not just physical pain, it's emotions. You've got, that's why one of the things why fasting is such a great tool, as much as I hate to admit that. Fasting stirs up the emotions like few other things do. I thought you loved me. I'm hungry. I thought you loved me. I'm not liking this. Emotions, you start finding out who's in charge. Is the Spirit in charge? Are these emotions in charge, you know? Gary, what happens with you? Going on here to verse 2. But it's a living sacrifice. I mean, it's a death that doesn't quit. As long as we're in this mortal body, it's going to have to put it on the cross daily. That's why, and but Paul, when he was right, yes, sir, I said it again, okay. should I finish that first? Okay. Paul, when he wrote about it, he says, our light affliction. You remember that? He wasn't just talking about the body. He was talking about all this, everything hell was throwing at him, you know. Distresses and perplexities and despairings and all of this stuff. And he says, cast down but not destroyed and all of these things. Plus, I keep my body under, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And a whole lifetime of that. And he says, but our light affliction. Shipwrecks, stonings, fastings often, all of the, you know, people saying everything ugly about you that can be said ugly about you, and fasting, throwing in fastings often, you know. And he says, but our light affliction, and how he phrases it, which is but for a moment. Well, it could be 40 years. How long were you a Christian? 50 years. Which is but for a moment, worketh in us an exceeding weight of glory. I like how Dave said at that time, he says, when you actually step over into your glorified body, when that day comes and you step into that glorified body, he said that first instant will make all of those 50 years worth it. Not to mention the eternities to come. And based on eternity to come, this is but for a moment, isn't it? When you've been there 10 gazillion billion years, in your glorified body and receiving the reward for stomping on this one, keeping this one under. When you've been receiving that reward for a gazillion years, won't this seem like but for a moment? Does it seem like that now? No, it does not. So I'm understanding now the purpose of this is even... Okay, open up to Matthew 6. Like he really wants me to do Matthew 6. Apparently, I think it's Matthew 6. I see the teaching. I think it's Matthew 6. He's not going to let me get away from it. And apparently, he wants it tonight, which I'm still preparing this message, so you may have to hear it again another time. Now, while you're turning there, let me finish up that thought. See, Romans 12, 1 and 2 now, starting to add, there's another layer of revelation being added to it now. The purpose of all of this, dealing with our flesh and walking holy, that's part of it because he is conforming us to the image of Christ. You remember in Romans 8, he said God, he predestinated that he wanted to conform us to the image of Christ. But it's not for a religious purpose, really, except he wants us to be like him. But the real purpose is to come to the place where we not only drive sin out of our body. That's like halfway. The other half, now you got to start yielding your life unto him. Where he starts, it's no longer my will. It's Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's his will. It's God who's working his will in us. So it's first, like taking dominion over sin, driving that out. Nobody, no. And that's going to include fastings and all of the things that we teach here. But really, I'm seeing the goal, really. The goal really is, Lord, what would you have me do? What do you want to do through this body? What is it that you want me to do? And again, if he wants you to be the mighty Dave Roberson type a person who stands on the platform and 5,000 teeth are filled with silver and gold. I mean, great. Hallelujah. If that's his plan for you, glory to God. Right on the other hand, if his real actual call for you is to be a secretary who answers the phone at the prayer center and writes down the messages that come in and take the prayer requests, that is as much a part of his body as the man on the platform, isn't it? You know, whatever, if he, like the example I used this morning, if his real call, what I want is my best life now. I want big cars, fancy houses, and 2 swimming pools. Thank you very much. And Jesus is going to help me get all that. But when you pray, he says, I want you to live in a mud hut in Zimbabwe and serve soup to orphans until you die. That's a living sacrifice. That's him, though. If that's him, you were born for that. You will find more satisfaction. You will have more peace, more joy doing that than anything else because you were born for that. Hallelujah. That's good stuff right there. It is. Hallelujah. So when it says in verse 2 there, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm not going to reteach it. I did it this morning. He goes right into all of these giftings. He starts talking, and he just got through. He's just going into all of these giftings that he equips in the body of Christ. Prophecy, ministering, teaching, giving, ruling, all of these different things that he wants. And the thing of it is, it's his choice, not yours. It's his choice. I didn't really choose to be a teacher. I found out I was a teacher. You know, I could fill in for a pastor. I kind of am. But I'm not a pastor. Have y'all figured that out yet? I'm really not a pastor. And it's okay. People can call me Pastor Gary. I don't go around, I'm not a pastor. You can call me a Chevy. You don't make me a car. I don't mind at all, you know. But I'm a teacher. I found that out by praying. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. You've got to present your body. And Dave, if you really leave it in context, you've got to go right back to chapter 8 here. Therefore, based on what I've already said, what's the first step of that? Well, if you don't know what your calling is, how about letting him that makes... we know he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the first step of presenting your body, fasting is okay. That's part of it. But really what he said leading up to that, you want to present your body? You want to find out what your gifting and calling is? The first step of that, yield yourself to the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Spirit. He knows your calling. He knows if you're called to Zimbabwe. He knows if you're called to Sapulpa, that other evil place. No, I love Sapulpa. I don't know. I think I pick on it because it is kind of an innocent thing. But anyway, a little nice country town. Anyway, that's what he's talking. The first step is start yielding your time. I want to watch whatever. I want to go to the lake. I want to whatever. But it's okay. But yield some of your time praying in the Holy Ghost. That's step number one. He'll start down. Part of what he's doing there is downloading who you are. Downloading into you your calling. I keep saying this phrase has been proven in my life over and over again. Please stop trying to figure it out and just go pray it out. If you'll pray, you won't miss it. He is smarter than you are dumb. I don't care if you take 27 trips to the barbershop Tuesday. I don't care how many times. If you keep praying, you won't miss it. He is smarter than we are dumb. He is able to get it across to you. And it's usually just one step at a time. One step at a time. Just take that next step, son. No! I want to know 6 steps later. No, take one step. Do this that I'm telling you. After you take that one, then I'll give you the next one. That's the way it works. All right. Go to Matthew 6. I wasn't planning on this tonight, but he brought it up like 3 times. So he acts like it's his service. I mean, it's weird, you know. I'm still preparing this, so there'll probably be more on this later. I don't know what I'm going to call this. This is part of his Sermon on the Mount. And where we're coming into now, as each of us does what he's been talking about tonight, as you really yield to him and you start finding out what it is he's called you to do, you know, you don't see the end from the beginning. You know, Paul did not start out as an apostle. At one point it says he and Barnabas were at Antioch and they were prophets and teachers. And I don't even know if they started there. But there's growth, see. So as you though begin to walk with the Holy Spirit yourself, ministry becomes a very private and personal thing between you and the Father. Really, and Jesus was prophesying here. Now, he's teaching to people that are not born again. But he's talking to them like they already are. I mean, when he offers this prayer in here, "Our Father, which art in heaven," you just don't know how radical that was at the time. They wouldn't even say the name of God out loud. They wouldn't verbalize the name. You know, do you remember that? Ever hear that in history? It was like God, G-A-W-D. But to bring across this concept that God is your Father, which at that moment he really was not. They were his creation. They weren't born again. How does God become your Father? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, they're following him, but he hasn't been glorified yet, so there's no way they can be born again. So this, everything he's saying here, it was for them, okay, but really he was talking to us, those who God really is your Father, and you have been born of his Spirit. As ministry begins to... Yes, sir. I see it again. All I can do is go by what he... Okay, I have to follow the sequence. You know, when in the world, if somebody makes a donation, a company makes a donation to an orphanage, what do you see on the TV? You see this giant check, bigger than a sheet of plywood. It's like 4 foot wide and 12 foot long with big numbers so you can read it even on the TV. We gave $1,000 to Zama Orphanage, you know. And it's like blowing the trumpet, sounding the alarm, look how great we are. And they're doing it, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, thank God they're given at least. But see, that is the reward right there. What happens in ministry, really what happens, there's something in you and there's something in God. This is such a one-on-one thing. It is so between him and you. And your reward is him. You don't need anything else. I'm telling you. So let's look at this. He mentions three things that he intends for believers to do here. And I'll just go, you already know. One of them is giving. The second one is prayer. No, the second one is fasting, I think. Let's just read it then. That's why I should read it. So Matthew 6, take heed, be careful that you do not your alms. And now this is not your giving to the church, okay? There is giving to the church, and if you're not giving to the church, I'll tell you again, there's something wrong in your walk. I always get a lot of amens right there when I say that. I'm not saying how much, you're not under formula, you're not under blessing and cursing, but if you enjoy the whatever church you're going to and you don't care, there's something in you that thinks it's okay for you to enjoy that church and not support for the air conditioning and the light bill and that your pastor has something to eat. You're not given anything. Now, again, I have a whole bunch of teachings at my website on kingdom finances. It is true that if you owe the electric bill, it's not okay to take the money that you owe from the electric bill and come in and give that money in the offering. That's called thieving. That's stealing. Because you signed your name on the dotted line with the electric company. You will provide electric and I will pay the bill. Didn't you? Didn't you? I'm a teacher, I told you. I'll wrap your knuckles. You paying attention? But you're living on something. You're living on something. You're eating. You're drinking some water or something. I don't care if it's a dime. If you're not giving anything out of your living, there's something wrong. There is something wrong. You and God need to talk. But now that's what he's talking about here is not even that. I mean, that's one level. Here he's talking about when you give to the poor. Now, in my own walk, I'll find out. Now, there's a real walk with him. You can hurt people by giving them money as much as you can help them. You have to be led by the Spirit to do this. And that's really what he's talking about. So take heed that you do not your alms, your giving to the poor, before men, to be seen of them. Now, let me back up. Sometimes they will see you. But what he's saying is, don't do it for that reason. The motivation is everything here. You know, sometimes we'll have somebody that's about to go to another country, or maybe just a poor family. We had it here, calling in the lost 2 or 3 weeks ago. There was somebody here, and they didn't have any money for food, and Dave brought them up. And so I saw you. We saw each other, didn't we? Give some money. But the purpose in the giving was not to be seen of men. The purpose in giving was to alleviate a need. Amen? Well, that's good. Anyway, take heed that you... Boy, we're just going to introduce this tonight. But take heed that you do not your alms, your giving, before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, now get this, if that's your motive, then when you gave, there's no reward from your Father which is in heaven. Your motivation is all wrong. You're seeking something other than God. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. I've never seen that done, but I have seen the billboard checks. Okay. Do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. Apparently, they really did that. Dun da dun da da dun da dun da da. Everybody pay attention. I am about to give to this poor person. Dun da dun da da. Look at me, how much I love God. Well, if that's your motive, you got your reward right there. Everyone goes, ooh, ooh, that's your reward. Hope you liked it. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. See? That's it. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Because of my longevity here and because of... let me say it this way. I know a lot of things that happens through this church that nobody ever knows. I hesitate to even say so many things that happen and nobody ever knows it because they're not seeking the glory of man, seeking the glory of God. And it's not just through the prayer center. I know people in this church, and I'm not looking at anybody, who do have that ministry of giving. I'm not saying they're rich by any means, but they hear God. That's one of their primary things, is they hear God. And they're listening all the time. $100 here, $200 there, $1,000 over there, $50 there. And you'll never know it. Not if they're for real. Not if they really had that office. Because they're not doing it for the glory of man. See, but when you do your alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. And what, again, sometimes it is going to know. Sometimes we see, sometimes there's no, but the motivation. The motivation is what's important here. That thy alms, your giving, may be in secret. Now here's what I'm getting at. And thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Now y'all do know what comes at the end of this chapter, don't you? Here in a little bit he's going to start talking about, why take you thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear? Why take you thought for those things? Why are you like the Gentiles that don't have a heavenly Father? And so from the birth to the grave, their whole life is spent about how are we going to live? How are we going to eat? Where are we going to get water? Where are we going to get food? He said, don't be like them. Well, part of that seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is these three things leading up to it. Are you walking with Him? You listening to Him? Is He being able to meet needs through you and do it for no other reason than it's Him that wants it? And then when you give, I'm telling you, His pleasure is your reward. It also means later, if you meet those needs and you do it strictly because of Him, don't tell me He's not going to meet your need. He will too. Now, it's not a give to get. See, if you're motivated, I was there for a decade. I only caught on. Oh, if I give, he will. Motivation was all wrong. What he's doing, he's developing his heart in us. How about prayer? When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Dave said one time when we used to have the all-night prayer, you got to listen to Pastor Dave closely, because he'll just say something, you know, and it just seems like it's not important. But if I'm telling you, some of the things he'll say just lodge in me forever. This was probably, when did we have those all-night? Was that 15 years ago when we used to have those all-night prayers? Maybe 20? And still remember. He just casually walking up here. There's a group praying. You know, we've been praying for hours, you know, all-night prayer. And he says, I just wonder how many of you do this at home when nobody's watching. And there it is, isn't it? There it is. Boy, that lodged in my heart. How many of you think I prayed more at home that next week? Huh? Because I don't want it to be. And I know that I'm subject. We're all subject to pride and self-exaltation. You got to watch those kind of things. See? So he said, if you only pray where you can be seen, something wrong. It's kind of like if you don't ever give. I'm telling you there's something. I'm not looking at anybody for any reason. I have to look somewhere. Poor Dirk, you know, every now and then I'll look at Dirk, and I just love Dirk. I appreciate what God's doing in Dirk, you know. And I happened to look at him when I said something right after the service. Sure enough, now were you prophesying to me? No, Dirk, I have to look somewhere. But if you only pray, you know, when you can be seen of other people praying, you don't ever really pray it in private. Well, now, I didn't expect that. We're going to have to cut this short tonight. My mother, who does not speak with other tongues, who's 94 years old, has loved the Lord longer than any of us have been alive in this room. She has a relationship with the Lord, a private relationship with Him. That is just amazing to me. Now, she really did get filled with the Holy Ghost when she's a little girl. She spoke in tongues a time or two. But then she wound up marrying a Baptist man. Yes, I asked my mom, how come you, you know, her whole family's Pentecostal, but I grew up Baptist. I said, how come you to be Baptist? Her answer was real simple. I married a Baptist man. In that generation, that's the way it was, you know. But see, I know that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, so she did get baptized in the Holy Ghost, and it's amazing how my mother has always been able to hear God. She can hear Him really, really well. But now, watch this. Here's my little 94-year-old mother in the mornings. She gets up and she has a little chair by the back. There's a sliding glass doors on the back of her house and a big old tree there. And she watches the sun come up. And she'll just be talking with the Lord. No, it's a beautiful day you've made today, Lord. And then all of a sudden, the sun will just peek through the between branches and give her a little, it'll just, you know, really little sun on her face. And she'll go, oh, thank you for that kiss, Lord. You don't think that's precious? Just her and the Lord. Nobody's there. Just her and the Lord. And it's like that all the time. And I'm thinking, how does that please His heart? How precious, how wonderful is that to Him, to walk and talk with Him? And you'll find that my mother is one of the most generous and giving people ever. She has that heart. She can't hardly walk by a need without meeting it somehow. And I also protect my mother. I'm not giving her address to anybody. Because there's charlatans that will hear that and want her address. Eh? Not here, but, you know, anyway. Okay, we've got about another minute or two. Notice, when you do your alms and when you pray, we're going to have to skip over that part for now. But come on down to verse 16. There's three when you's in this. When you give, when you pray, and then verse 16, when you fast, not if you fast. When you fast. See, Jesus, when they approached Him that time, how come the Pharisees' disciples fast and John the Baptist's disciples fast, but your disciples don't fast? He says, well, how can they fast as long as the bridegroom is with them? But when the bridegroom is taken away, then they shall fast. I'm telling you right now, He expects His body to fast. He expects it. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. Do y'all pray about when to pray? I'll pray when you tell me to. Well, you pray, don't you? Why do we so much pray about fasting then? Now, you do need to pray about 40, big long one maybe, something like that. I'm just telling you, though, what I'm seeing here, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. There's going to be more of a fasting lifestyle as we go into revival. And we really should be doing it now, preparing for revival. Amen? When you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thine head and wash thy face. In other words, do everything you can to not look like you're fasting. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And this one, up until just recently, I'll be honest to you, I was blind to it. I don't care that Dave taught fasting every year for 20 years. I was still blind to it until I really started understanding, only within the last maybe a year or two, what he's expecting of us when it comes to these bodies. We're supposed to rein these rascals in. They are supposed to not only be under dominion free from sin, but we are supposed to make them bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. What will you have me do? He expects me as a child of God. This is my earth suit. It's the only one I have. He expects me to take dominion over this thing, and that includes fasting. And I never saw it so clear as I have in this past year or two. But that's, he expects that. And not to be doing it for any other reason except you're not the boss of me. You don't tell me what to do, I tell you what to do. Verse 18 again, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. See, it's a stewardship issue now between me and the Father. And I'm going to not look the same way. I will tell you this, it doesn't get easier as you get older. I eat a peach now and gain like I ate a slice of pie. Something, your metabolism changes, okay? This does not get easier with age. But I'm telling you, I'm understanding what this is now between me and my Father. It's a stewardship thing. And I'm going, okay, I've got to show this thing who's boss. If you're going to live the life of Christ is going to be made manifest through this body, then this body has to become his vessel. It's no longer about what I like. It's about what he likes. What he wants to do is what I'm talking about. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now this previews for coming. I'm already over. This previews his homework assignment. You notice three things, and there's a reward involved if you do it right. Give in secret, he'll reward you openly. Fast or pray in secret, he'll reward you openly. Fast in secret, he'll reward you openly. Everyone say reward.
Reward.
Say it again, reward.
Reward.
Look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures. Reward, treasures. Wonder if there's any correlation here. Reward, treasures. Okay, that's previews of coming attractions. I told you I'm working on it. But that correlation just hit me not too long ago. I said, oh my goodness. He's been talking about reward, reward, reward. And then he says, now lay up treasures. And I'm going, perhaps there is a correlation here. Perhaps it's not the heavenly checkbook like the prosperity teachers told me. Anyway. All right, we got to stop. I'm way over already. And